sky is so starless. Baby, the sky is so starless. Baby, you got me growing heartless. So heartless, girl, it's starless. Starless, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yo, what's up? What's up? We are back. You are listening to the Red Light Special. My name is Rob Markman. My co-host, Kristen Carl, man, where you at, Kristen? Kristen's actually stuck in traffic a little bit, you know how New York City do, but she's on the BQE. She's going to be here in a minute. But this is the Red Light Special. You are listening to episode 16, and what you just heard was the intro, the theme song, Jake and Papa, man. Shout out to Jake and Pop, man. They were our guests last week. They were here in New York. They went over to SOBs and had a show on SOBs for BET Music Matters and shut it down. If you haven't gotten the album Sexual Warfare, please. It's on their SoundCloud. It's a dope album. And plus, you can listen to Starless, our theme song, as a whole. So, you know, shout out to Jake and Pop, man. That's the West Coast homies and Nikki. Also wanted to shout out This Is R&B, my man Jamie up at This Is R&B, man. What's up? I was on the site today, and I came across some new music from somebody who I didn't expect. You know, I'm on there doing my 1-2 thing, checking out what's new, and I see Sanaa Lathan got a record. And I'm like, you know me, man, Sanaa is dope. She's a dope actress, obviously gorgeous. So, you know, I'm a fan of whatever Sanaa do. But a record I wasn't expecting. But she got this record called Emotional with Dej Loaf. It's produced by Detail. Plus, she got the number one movie in the box office with The Perfect Guy, her and Michael Lilly. I think Michael Lilly about to set light-skinned dudes back a couple years, man, because he's looking real creepish in that movie. I haven't seen it yet. But nah, so now I got this joint. I wasn't really expecting it. You know, basically she talking about, it's funny, the content is funny. I probably like the content of the record better than I actually like the record. But it's called Emotional. And she's basically like how she don't deal with emotional dudes. You know, and the cover is real interesting. A guy texting her 50 times. But hit us up on Twitter at RLS Podcast and let me know what you think of that new Sanaa Lathan joint, Emotional. I'm really interested to see what y'all think. But we're going to get right into it. I ain't going to front. It feels a little bit strange because, you know, my co-defendant, Kristen Coro, like I said, she's battling traffic a little bit. And I don't want to feel like I'm just talking to myself this week, man. So we're going to get right into it, man. This next guest for this week, it's just been a long time coming. She hails from the Miami area. And earlier this year, she released her new album, Doing the Most, independently on Valhalla Entertainment. I mean, if I'm being honest, we built this podcast for artists like this and with artists like this in mind. And she's a young lady that I took a liking to, I want to say now, it might be about maybe almost 2 years now, a year and a half maybe. By just hearing her stuff on Twitter, man, she's doing big things now. So please, please welcome to the Red Light Special, Kirby Marier. What up?
What's up? What's up? Happy to be here.
Yeah, welcome to New York.
New York, son. Finally.
Is this your first time in New York?
No, okay. I think it's my third time, but this is my first time really like being like walking in the streets and having time to really just relax and just, I don't know, like I like it. I like it a lot.
Okay. And you from Miami? Well,
I'm originally from Arkansas.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's different, right?
Yeah, that's a little bit different. So how long were you in Arkansas?
Oh, man, until I was like 9, and then I moved to Miami. So okay. That was like a big shock.
So what brought you out of Miami, from Arkansas to Miami?
My mom remarried.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, that's how that goes.
Okay, you know how that should go. Nah, that's what's up.
But so, I'm happy, though. I mean, it's a lot better than, you know.
But Miami raised you.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? For all intents and purposes.
Uh-huh.
And you got this new album, Doing the Most. And I want to touch on that a little bit. It got, first of all, you are just very sweet from when I met you. This is my first time meeting you. We interact on Twitter, but you have a very sweet disposition.
Thank you.
But on that album.
I try.
You talking,
I got a potty mouth.
Yeah. You know, it's like a little like a, it's R&B.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's kind of trappish. It's like Trap and B.
Yes, it is. You got it right there.
Yeah. So, I mean, you be talking your shit
or doing the most. Like,
yeah, I know, man. It's a lot. Like, I mean, that's how I am. Like, I do have those different sides. Like, I am sweet, but it's like, I'm more of like a thinker, and I keep a lot of stuff like inside. So, like, I think with doing the most, it really, people saw that other side of me that, you know, they normally don't get to see.
That's dangerous, though. So you keep a lot of stuff inside.
Yeah, I'm introverted.
But so what, when does it come? Was it in the studio that it comes out, or is like?
Yeah. And when I get high, yeah.
Oh, when you get high. Well, yeah, you get high a lot, first of all. Because on the album, it's definitely like a lot of Roll One, Part One and Part Two.
Yeah.
Give me an example of something that you hold in. I'm trying to get to learn you. Okay. Something that you hold in and then when it pop off.
Okay, I'll say from like one of the songs, For Show.
Yeah, oh my God.
Okay, well, For Show, it was like when I wrote that one, I was going through something to where I would show love to like a lot of people, like my friends or family or something like that. And then when they got the opportunity to show me like something back, like when I really did need it, I didn't get that, you know, what I expected. So it kind of made me wonder, like, dang, like, do I show too much love? Like, am I doing something wrong? Like, are they taking me for granted or whatever? So with that was kind of about, like, being undecisive of, like, dang, like, should I change? Or, like, should I, you know? You know, you just think stuff, so.
And then you just went in the booth and was like, I don't really fuck with you bitches.
Right. Niggas are bitches.
That's right, because you didn't discriminate. One verse was about the dudes.
First I talked about the niggas, then I went to the bitches. But I think everybody been through that at one point, right? So I think people can relate to that.
We were just talking about that before the mics came
right,
on.
Right.
About showing too much love.
Yeah,
doing the most. So let's talk about, because I think it's an interesting story how, at least for me it's interesting, how I got up on your music. I used to do, for those that remember on Twitter, on Sunday nights, it was mostly on Sundays because it was right before The Walking Dead, which is one of my favorite. I don't watch a lot of TV.
Too.
Oh, word. Have you been watching
like
this new one?
Stuff. No.
The Fear of The Walking Dead?
No. Is that like it? Or?
Yeah, it takes it back. It's like a spinoff, but it takes it back to how the apocalypse, the zombie apocalypse first started and what caused it. So it's a different characters. It takes place in LA. I don't know if I love it yet. I've been watching it. I'm not.
It sounds dope, though.
It is dope. Yeah, I started reading the comic book. I watched the show.
A comic book?
It was originally a comic book, The Walking Dead.
Everything was originally a comic book.
So
that's crazy.
So somebody at Genius, shout out my man Andrew at Genius, lent it to me. He was like, "Oh, you like The Walking Dead? You should read the book." And he gave it to me. But let's rewind back. We're gonna talk about The Walking Dead later.
All right,
So it used to be before The Walking Dead came on, and I'd jump on Twitter. So many people would just send me links to their music, and I used to do this thing called The Invincible Dreamers, because I feel like to make it anywhere, right, to really have a dream and see yourself 10 steps ahead of where you currently are, like, it has to be invincible. I have to imagine for you to be like, yo, I want to sing, and I want to make music that for every thought that you had, that there was a person to say, nah, what you need to do is keep your ass in school, you know, go get your degree, be an accountant, be a lawyer, be a doctor.
Yeah.
So I always say that to make it, no matter what your dream is, your dream has to be invincible, because there's going to be a lot of roadblocks.
Right.
And I wanted to encourage that. So I used to ask people used to send me links to their music all the time, and I'm like, well, if you just use this hashtag, I'll listen to as many as I can. Mm-hmm. And I came across one of your records one night, I'm just saying.
Yeah.
And it had this, it was like this sweet melody and vibe over this hard hip hop beat. And it reminded me of the things that I used to love about Mary J. Blige
back in the day.
And my life and all of that. And I was put on to your music from there.
That's what's up. Yeah, man.
So I'm just saying, you remember that song?
Yeah, I wrote it.
Okay.
I wrote the song, Ike.
I know, but some people be like, man, that's my old, I don't want to talk about my old shit.
About that.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, man, I'm just, you know what? That came about, my dad actually told me like years ago, like he listened to a lot of blues. Like, we're from Arkansas. That's like, the town we're from in Arkansas is like 30 minutes from Memphis. So it's like really bluesy, like on the music tip. But he was saying like, man, like, if you write your next song, make sure you write one title, I'm just saying. And he gave me the whole, you know, thing about it. So I'm like, all right. So I finally made the song, and I'm happy I did, because it really was, it turned out to really be like some hip hop, like really good hip hop shit.
Right. Yeah. Nah, that's what's up. But you definitely be like on your hip hop shit. Like, the more I started to learn about you and see what you was really about, like, you know, you had that album in 2012, the Class of 96 EP. And yeah, man, like, first of all, before we even get into that, man, I'm bugging. Cause Vince is here, right?
Yeah.
Vince Valhalla, the head of Valhalla Entertainment.
Yeah, yeah. Basically, chairman, CEO. Yeah.
Okay, he's like the Diddy of Valhalla Entertainment.
Everybody says that.
Yeah, I mean, he got like a Diddy vibe. So I ain't even gonna lie. Like, this is like, but
I
is
mean, and this and what's crazy is it's like, I get that, but it's not like I'm trying to be him.
Nah.
I'm trying to be better than him, but right. You know, if people just have that comparison, I don't know exactly what
that's
it is.
That's a good comparison though.
It's a good comparison. Yeah.
But this is Diddy definitely after Andre Harrell fired him.
Nice.
Started his own thing. This is like 99 Diddy. This might be like,
okay.
Yeah.
I like that.
RIP Big Dad, and they thought it was over, man, but he's really on his shit. Look.
That's what it is. Yeah. Okay. I like that.
I was just saying. So Vince, if you hear another voice in the background, Vince is in the building. But the Class of 96 EP.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, right off the bat, you got me because you flipped Common. I used to love her. From I used to love him. What was the theme of this EP? Now in your
Class
own words.
Class of 96.
Yeah.
Really, what I wanted to do, because it was like my first project, so I wanted to go back and listen to a lot of the records that inspired me to be doing what I'm doing now. Mm-hmm. So it just happened to be all of the records were from like 94 to 96.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, damn, like, okay. So I just got all of those hip hop records and just came up with like a good, you know, R&B lyrics to them.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like it was kind of like an ode to hip hop before I start doing my other stuff. Cause I had to get that out of my system first. Move on to the next stuff. So,
that's what's up. Yeah. And you just heard Vince's phone go off. That was a money call.
That's a Diddy moment.
That was a Diddy moment. That was a real Diddy moment. That was a real Diddy moment. He said, take that. So where you flipped. I used to love her too. I used to love him.
Yeah.
One of my favorite records off that project is you redid Jay-Z's Politics as Usual with Why.
Yeah.
Is the name of the record. That's a great.
Okay, now let me tell you about that, man.
Let's go.
This is, okay. That song was written about my ex-boyfriend.
Oh, okay.
Because in college, shout out to FSU, Seminoles, baby. yeah, in college, I was not faithful to him.
You weren't faithful to him?
No, I wasn't. I wasn't.
You were y'all in the same college?
Yeah. I wasn't faithful to him. And he was kind of like somebody that you could kind of push over, I guess. I don't know, but he was too nice.
Hey. Kristen just walked in the building.
The song is pretty much like, dang, like, you must think I'm a horrible person. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But
Hold on.
Oh,
technical.
Yeah.
We
people
good.
Just walked
we
in, so.
Yeah, just,
no, don't mind me.
Okay, yeah, so.
Nice to meet you.
Very nice to meet you.
And you.
Yes.
Hi, how are you? I'm Kristen. Nice to meet you.
Cool. But yeah, like, the song was like me singing to him, like, dang, you must think I'm a horrible person, but I just gotta let you know you're just not that guy.
Right.
You know? So that's what that was about.
So we got to go into that. So, because this is rare, right? And usually from the woman, look, from the women's perspective, again, if you listen to Mary J. Blige, My Life,
mm-hmm.
Lauryn Hill, Miss Education.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Men are the worst. Right, like we get it, but the X Factor,
yeah, the
like that—that's a hard record to listen to. But women do it too.
Yeah, definitely, man.
So he was a pushover.
Yeah, it was a pushover. But you know what? I'm just happy I got that out of my system. Like as far as like being the play, you know, not being faithful.
Well,
it's like
it's your college years.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of dudes would say that they don't. Trust
right.
a woman who hasn't. I mean, you got to experience some things
you
before you're ready to settle down.
And you got to learn who you are, you know, at the same time.
Nah, that's love. Now, did you ever admit to him that, how did he find out that you cheated on him?
He knew. He was just such a pushover that he didn't, He didn't want to lose me. So when a girl knows that, then it's like, oh, okay, but shoot, I can do anything, you know.
I feel him, though.
I'm not a bad person.
That's the green light.
I always said, this ain't the first time. You remember that Mario Winans song that,
I don't want to know.
I don't want to know if he played me, keep it on the low.
That's how he was, like, for real.
I'm probably that dude, but not the pushover. Like, I literally don't want, like, don't let me find out.
Okay. Really?
Yeah. Because if I find out, then what you going to do? I can't.
Yeah.
So I really don't want to know. But if I know,
then you have to.
Shit's going to change. I can't know and act move. Like I don't know.
Right.
Yeah. Right?
Well, that's not how he was, child.
Damn. Do you still talk to him?
Nah.
I hope he ain't listening.
And it's crazy because I'm like friends with all my exes except for him. So it kind of bothers me that like he's not letting me be his friend. But I understand why.
I understand why. Wait, what's his name? Yeah, let's shout him out. Let's talk to him.
What did I walk into?
Oh, no.
What's his name? We going to say his name?
Shout out to Gary, man.
Hey, Gary.
Shout out to Gary,
that
man.
That might be our first name drop on the
podcast. Said, was it like Boy Smith? He was like, baby.
I'm sorry. Please begin.
I knew you was out there with them other guys. And I just didn't care.
That's exactly what
happened. Simping.
Nah, man. Nah, Gary. Hey, Gary, man. So you don't know what Gary's up to right now? You don't follow him on Facebook or nothing?
Nah, he ain't got no Facebook. Nothing like that.
You know why?
I think it's because he knows that I'll probably be like, hey, what's up? You know.
Gary probably got him some money right now. He probably got one or two bands.
He don't. I've seen him since then. He ain't got no money. But, yeah.
Damn.
I mean, it ain't about that. Y'all don't want people to be thinking I'm superficial. You know what I'm saying? It's not about
facts
that.
Is facts.
But, you know, just a moment in my life where I learned, you know, and I'm good now.
Yo, Kirby, you doing the most right now.
I am.
You understand what I'm talking about? So doing the most. All right. So that was the class 96. Damn, that's a dope story. That was like, yeah. I feel like we ain't got a real story like that about a record since we had Rigo Love on this show.
Really?
Yeah. Because Rigo give it to you raw. Most people like shy away from it.
They
like,
sugarcoat it.
Yeah. She ain't sugarcoat it. That's what's up though. Have you cheated on any of your boyfriends after Gary?
No.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I'm happy I got that out of my system. I'm good now. I don't want this to take too much energy.
Yeah, for real.
Everybody's cheated at least once.
Yeah.
How old were you then?
You didn't say nothing?
Nah, man.
Okay, what'd you say?
How old were you then?
I was, I think I was 22.
Oh.
22? Yeah.
You was young.
It wasn't that long ago, but yeah.
Okay.
Long ago enough.
Right.
So now doing the most. Talk about the transition of the sounds, because where Class of 96 had this hip-hop sound, and obviously you didn't really make the beats to do the production. They were kind of like existing beats. I feel like doing the most has a real sound to it. Who produced doing the most?
Vegas Fontaine.
Okay.
He produced all of the records on there, and he's done songs from like for Rick Ross, Neo. Yeah.
He's worked with Rico Love before.
Yeah. Who else? Michelle Williams,
Mario.
A
bunch of other people.
So we were just chilling and he
produced the entire project, yeah.
Is that more beneficial for you, like, working with one producer or?
Yeah, I think it helps me really, like, create a sound, you know, the sound that I want, and I don't have to worry about going here and there and getting this person to send me this and trying to make everything come together and sound like one project. I think it's definitely easier that way.
Okay. Nah, that's what's up. And then, and you write all your own stuff?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You don't got it like a Quentin Miller?
Nah, no Quentins over here.
Okay.
No
Quentins.
How do you feel about that? Because, you know, we always talk about it on the show, how R&B singers, it's okay. So many great R&B singers have had people write their songs for them. Mm-hmm. And they let it be known. They almost just always give credit. Mm-hmm. Whereas, obviously, the whole Quentin Miller thing happened, and it was like such a tragedy to find out. So how do you feel like that's that separation between hip-hop and R&B?
Most people didn't care.
Oh, people care.
Yeah, well, yeah, some care. People did care.
People care.
Most people didn't care.
But I mean, people sometimes were just controversial.
I can respect like people who write their own music and people that get other people. I think it should be a mix, though. Mm-hmm. I think everybody shouldn't write your song. Like, you shouldn't have songs out there that you haven't written. Like at least one, two, three. Like,
So would you let anybody write for you?
Yeah. I've had some people write for me before that I haven't released yet, but yeah. What, TC? I work with TC. That's somebody that works with Tamar now.
Okay.
He's been on the show and everything. Priscilla Renee. She's written songs for Rihanna.
She's written a lot of different. She's written a lot of different records.
But I'm not against it. I just want people to know that I'm able to write my own stuff.
Is there anybody that you want to write for?
Crazy enough, I think the first record I've written for somebody is Paradise on Doing the Most. I actually wrote that for Seven.
Oh, okay. Seven Streeter.
Yeah, in L.A. Yeah. Okay. But I don't think they ended up choosing it, obviously, since it's on mine. But that's the first record I've written for somebody else. Yeah.
They might have chose it, and then you know. Remember that Frank Ocean and Bridget Kelly?
I remember that.
But shoot, Seven might be picky, man.
She might be.
I just interviewed K Camp a couple of weeks ago over at Genius, and he said he wrote a record on his album Rolling with Snoop. He had written that for Seven. Sound like a bang. He said she ended up keeping it. He was like, man, I took it for my album.
Man, that's crazy.
I think because she's a writer too.
Right.
And I know Chris Brown is really hands on with her too. So
that's dope. Let's talk about another record that you wrote. Because again, you sitting here and very sweet, like you chilling right now. But I feel like there's another side of you on this album. SPP.
Ooh.
Sweet Potato Pie.
Love that record.
What? Yeah, thank you. Thanks.
Girl, your mother heard that record?
Yes. She likes it. She likes it, yeah. I don't know if she understands what it's really about, but she loves it, yeah.
Where you came up with this record now? Come on, talk about it.
Me and Vegas, the producer, was in the studio. And it was the day after Thanksgiving.
So you already know
sweet potato pies on deck. I brought one to the studio, and, you know, there was a stove in a room where we were, whatever. But I put it in there, and we started, like, you know, really vibing, building up whatever it was that we were going to record that day. And the aroma of the pie just filled up the room. So I'm like, damn, that's just smell good. I'm like, yeah, man, my shit be smelling good. And then we just, I don't know. That's how, like, most of the songs end up coming about. And, yeah, my shit be smelling good. Sweet potato pie.
That's a feel-good record. I like that one.
I just sat there scratching my head. I'm like, man, it's clever.
I can make a good sweet potato pie, though.
Right.
That's a fact.
Yeah.
You'll have to make some for us one day.
Most definitely.
Mm-hmm. Gotta smell good, too.
Definitely.
I don't even know what we're talking about right now. I'm so lost. Let's go back, man, because Vince here, you actually rocking the Valhalla hoodie. How'd you hook up with this guy, man? Talk about the origins of the label and.
Okay. When I graduated from FSU, I really wanted to focus and concentrate, you know, because I've been going to school and doing the most. And I was like, you know what? I'm really going to give this, like, my all, you know. I'm going to find some producers, you know. So I ended up hearing about Vince from a friend, and I hit him up on MySpace. So you already know how long ago that was. And ended up going down to Miami and meeting up with him and Vegas. And we just started vibing and working on records. And, you want to tell them about...
About the
foundings of
Valhalla?
Yeah,
you're gonna have to write this down.
Yeah, well, in 2005, I was working with a lot of different artists, you know, locally. From 2000.
After Andre Harrell fired you from Our Town Records?
Exactly. So then I had to find another job, but then I was just like, you know what, I should start my own label. But anyway, around like 2004, I ended up meeting Vegas and another producer. And a guy named Louis Knuckles. He was an independent artist down there, and I
he sound Puerto Rican. He Puerto Rican?
No, actually, he's not.
Oh, okay.
I think he has Spanish in the family,
the Louis part.
He probably
so
is
stereotypical.
But he's,
Dominican
or
something.
It's a possibility. Mm-hmm. But anyway, so I meet them, and then what ends up happening is that they was like, okay, because I wanted to do marketing for them, so they're producers or whatever the case may be. So I was working with them, and then I had this idea. I was like, you know what? because I always wanted to start my own label, but I wanted to make sure that I had the experience. So I was, you know, like I said, I had, you know, over like, you know, 4 years of experience. So then I started my label in 2005. I didn't have any artists at that time. But after about a year, I ended up picking up a couple rappers. She didn't come around at that time, but what ended up happening was,
it sounded like these rappers didn't work out. Just
no,
you
actually,
said.
You know what?
Just like you said, okay, so a couple rappers.
I had an artist by the name of. They all were talented. They all were dope. They all made noise. We all made noise locally. But I had this one artist by the name of Fats. He ended up, you know, he got radio play. He was really like next to go from Miami, but it was like certain things that happened business wise that we couldn't really move forward. So anyway, so basically at that time she was already on the label, but she was coming up and we were working on a sound for her. So I had like this other artist was like the flagship. So when she ended up kind of like recording and we ended up getting her sound, then she ended up being like the focal point, you know, within the label. But you know, I've worked with a lot of different people, a lot of experience, and as far as in Miami, I believe we're one of the top labels, independent labels, that's based out of Florida. So it's like we've been doing it for over 10 years, and it's just like we have a lot of accolades now. So it's just like now it's time to take it to the next level. So Doing the Most is kind of like this first album of taking it to that next level,
right?
So
that's what's up. Now, Kirby, is that a lot of pressure for you now that you feel because you're basically now like the lead artist on
right? No,
on
it's not.
Label.
Like I always felt like I should have been the lead artist.
Take that.
No,
I was
you're
like,
worried.
Man, why are you wasting all this time with these people, man? Like,
these rappers.
Yeah. I did right.
Yeah,
I had said that, but only because I knew I had potential. And I didn't have like all the extra personal stuff that was going on with other people. Mm. I just really just wanted to do music. You know, so.
All right, and now y'all here.
Yeah.
What are some of the challenges that are coming up out of Florida, and that scene? You know, we really, if you think about it, Florida and South Florida built a lot of the blueprint for independence and hip hop. You know, starting with Luke.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one of just the first independents, and then obviously Sip and Slide was huge years later.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a great tradition for doing y'all own business out there outside of the majors. What kind of challenges do you face, A, as a label, Vince, and then Kirby, B, as an artist?
You know what? I think a lot of the things that we actually face is, it's like, you know, it's about the cosign. Like right now, it's like, imagine if an artist or someone else cosigned Kirby and said, Kirby's next.
Let's,
exactly. So if they said she's next, then she would be next.
Right.
Yeah.
Technically, that's how another one. Exactly. Mm-hmm. So it's just like I think, but honestly, I mean, we don't need a cosign because we're gonna do it, and I believe one of the best singers in the game, and I'm saying that, and I might, you know, sound like, you know, it's cocky, but I just believe that she's one of the best. She writes her own music, whatever the case may be. But one of the challenges, like I said, is I think the Florida market isn't like it's a unique market, because if you're not getting a cosign from somebody, it's like they want somebody else to say
that you hot.
You hot. Okay, so New York said you hot. Okay, you hot.
Mm-hmm.
Or LA says you hot. Okay, you hot now. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like you have to step out of the city in order to really make an impact, you know what I'm saying? Which is cool, and whatever the case may be, but you know, that's one of the challenges I would say.
Yeah, I think Rick Ross, he had to go to what, Atlanta, and
yeah, he
up
went
here to get hot, and then down there, and then that's when they started playing him on the radio and different stuff. They real like, they're they support local music, but they want to see another city support it first before they really respect it. And
that's
like,
crazy.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I mean, we talk about that a lot in New York, too. You know, kind of like, why don't we support New York artists?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we talk about, you know, the down south rappers and everybody coming up to New York, and we always show them love.
Uh-huh.
But do you ever feel like you would move to New York or L.A., considering, you know, they rely so heavily on other cities' words?
Well, yeah, I definitely plan on being in LA. I love LA. Yeah. Weed on deck.
Roll one, part one, part two, part three, part four.
Right. Great weather. I like New York too, but I could see more, I think moving from Miami to LA would be probably a little bit more, you know.
Reasonable.
Yeah. But yeah, man, I mean, I hope that changes. I hope that I could change that.
Right. Nah, that y'all definitely on y'all way. Now, doing the most, you know, one thing I want to ask about was the album cover. It's just interesting because it's like you hear you got like your peaceful vibe with the top that you wearing, and that's like Tim's. Like, yeah. I feel like, again, the album
contrast.
Cover even echoes what we hearing on this album.
Right. I just really wanted to, like, relax. Like, I didn't want that typical R&B look, you know, right. with the long weave and, you know, the mid-drift. You know, it's, like, all the same now, you know.
Yeah.
I just really wanted to relax and just, hey, man, let me curl my little hair up.
You ain't want to be out here looking like Ciara?
No. No, man.
There's nothing wrong with that. Let me stop playing with Kobe. We're going to get her a show. She'll be like, nah, man, I'm trying to write a record for Sierra, man. Will you shut up? Shit.
Well, you have a very upbeat, like, I feel like this project is very raunchy in a way.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like you said, it's not your typical, like, lovers and friends kind
right.
of project. But do you want to put out a full-length project maybe like that? Do you plan on, because you have
yeah,
a great voice.
Definitely.
You really
definitely.
Do have a great voice.
I plan on doing, like, you know, more R&B-ish, you know. I just wanted, this time I wanted to really do something that wasn't about relationships and breaking up. Because I just feel like this is typical.
Right.
It's expected, so.
Right, now that's dope. Now, are you currently in a relationship?
Somewhat, yeah.
Somewhat. Does this fella know that, will you just freely write about somebody that you're in a relationship with? Or
oh, yeah.
is that something that y'all talk about before you write it down in the song? Like,
no.
What's the dynamic of you have a fight with somebody or a great night with your man and then put a song in it? He'd be like, damn, I didn't want you to put all my business out there like that.
He ain't got no choice.
I like it. Kirby puts her foot down.
I mean, when you're dating an artist, you got to know. You know, that's what might happen.
Right.
You know? It's fun, though. It's fun.
He'd be like, man, as long as...
Potato pie.
As long as I'm like you know? Gary... As long as I don't end up like Gary.
Oh, man.
Be good.
I hope he ain't listening to this.
I hope Gary is. Watch, Gary.
Gary, my bad, man. I got you looking like a punk. My bad.
Gary going to hit us on Twitter. Watch.
I hope he does. Hey, Gary.
He going to slide in them DMs. Yeah.
He's going to have to slide create a Twitter first and then do it.
Right. Listen, you never know, man. So the project is out,
uh-huh.
and it can get it on iTunes, right?
Amazon, Google Play, all of the major retailers.
Okay. Nah, it's definitely worth it. I actually I pre-ordered it.
And we appreciate
Thank
that.
Thank you.
Nah, we appreciate y'all support.
Good.
Yep.
Nah,
yeah.
really
same
appreciate
here.
That support.
I was like, yeah, let's go. I've been waiting. I feel like I got so much free music from you.
Yeah.
So when the pre-orders came, I said, well, let's go.
Thank you.
And, you know, the day when it came, I let it rip. You know, it's definitely joints in there that's banging. There's some joints that I don't know about that Sweet Potato Pie. It's a dope song. You won't catch me singing it.
What?
It don't relate.
You know what? A lot of guys.
Rob is fronting right now. He's so fronting.
Yeah.
Right
no, but guys
really,
look, I didn't expect guys to really like it, but they playing it in strip clubs in Miami.
Oh, well.
Yes.
Because that's where you're going to play it.
Yeah.
Right. But I didn't expect the guys to gravitate to it. I thought they were like more
either.
So like a for show or like balling or something like really, really hip hop.
Yeah, well, the guys are going to gravitate to it because if the women dance to it in the strip club, right?
Oh, yeah.
So the key is to make the win. So she feel good. She might be, yeah, I got some sweet potato pie too. Check it out.
Yeah.
And she dances. She putting a little something extra on it.
Right. Right.
He going to throw extra ones.
Right.
And it's a cyclical effect,
right,
man.
Right,
you know.
Right. You been to the strip club before?
Never.
Miami?
No, nah. I've never been to the strip club.
Ever?
Not in Miami. I've been to the strip club one time.
Yeah, you didn't like it.
Oh. I'm just not a strip club person.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not. It was like, you know, before I got married for my bachelor party, I went to a strip club. But I never understood the throwing money out, man. Like, trying to keep my
I feel you.
What's the biggest strip club in Miami?
G5. I don't think it's King of Diamonds anymore.
Yeah, King of Diamonds doing something, yeah, but they're not. I don't think they're like locally. They're not like the top.
Yeah, you know, G5 and Tootsies.
And
Tootsies, yeah. I've heard.
I heard about Tootsies in the Rico Love record.
Yeah.
And I think, that's how I know about my strip clubs. Like Rico say it's popping, it's popping.
Yeah, right. I think Drake mentioned it or something like that too. But yeah, but Tootsies is popping. Yeah. But
he mentioned in the Meek diss, right?
If I'm not mistaken.
Up until he's getting my shoulder rubbed.
Oh, he did. Yeah. But yeah, that's how Miami is. Like, the club is the strip club. So you're going to see, like, a lot of girls and boys in there.
Yeah. Mango's isn't a strip club, is it?
No.
It's not?
It's a big club. On
it's a dance. It's like a dance club. They do, like...
Like a Latin.
They do, like, dance numbers. Some people do dance numbers and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's dope. It's pretty
Latin
dope.
Dance.
It's pretty dope.
I'm not a club person.
Yeah, I'm not a club person. Right.
I've been to live in Miami. It's cool, but it's like to say you've been to live.
Yeah, I mean, we used to actually do the club scene heavy. Like, right. You know, as a label, you have to, you know,
of course.
You have to be out there, you know, whatever the case may be. But we did it so much. She literally performed like at every venue in the city. So it's just like, after a while, you think to yourself, as a matter of fact, her first show was at a strip club.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Her first show
was
at a
ratchet strip club. One, too.
One of them anything goes?
Yeah, it was ratchet. Yeah.
Bullet holes.
What?
Yeah.
That was my first.
Was Gucci Man there? When was it?
It wasn't there. It was ratchet. I remember it was ratchet. And then we kind of just kind of kept going.
It was
up
a great experience.
Did you yell at Vince when you was like, man, motherfucker, you can't have me out here in this bullshit?
Why'd you book me for this,
she
Vince?
She was actually pretty. She was game. The good thing I like. The great thing about working with Kirby is that she understands the grind. She understands. She doesn't mind the work. Mm-hmm. You know, when we were starting to work, like we were like, man, like I know you write your own music, but you know, we want to get other people to get involved within the songwriting process. But I think you should write your own music.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And she was just like, okay. All right. And she was game. So, you know, that's why, like, you know, she understands, like, about playing a long game instead of just worrying about results.
I
want to
be hot right now. I want to be hot right now.
Yeah, being hot right now doesn't mean anything. Like, you could be hot right now.
It's temporary.
And you
could
stop working and then you're not hot anymore. So,
definitely.
It's about the longevity of it. You know what I'm saying? So,
let's talk about your weed habit.
Okay.
You made Roll One.
Uh-huh.
Not once, but twice.
Right.
And put it on the album. What's that? How does that affect your process? Do you smoke to create?
I was high on every one of those songs.
That doesn't ever record your
process. Influence, yeah.
That doesn't ever interrupt with your recording process?
No, it doesn't.
No?
Mm-mm. For some people it does, but not with me.
I can't function if...
Really?
I'm like, I have to have... You remember when Jay was like, it's just once in the blue when there's nothing to do?
Oh, okay.
That's, I got to have nothing because I can't...
Okay.
Exactly. Yeah. I can't have anything to do.
I get more productive, though.
I get less productive. I'm done.
Yeah, I used to smoke before going to the gym.
What?
Before...
I cannot.
Me and my sorority sister used to go kickboxing after we smoked.
Dangerous.
That means you do it enough.
I think so, yeah.
Because I used to do that a lot and... I could do the same, but then it's been years, so it's like literally.
You gotta build that tolerance back up. I could help you do that.
Yeah. I, like, if I were to come in here,
like, yo,
I would have smoked before this. I mean, we wouldn't really be conversating. I'd just kind of be like, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then, Is You With It?
Oh, yeah.
Is You With It, I feel like it's the first song that
That's
I heard.
That's the first song that I released doing the most.
It was the first single that we released from it, but it was released like when she first started recording the album.
Right.
So basically we released the single and it was released. And honestly, it was kind of scary for me because for everybody that is used to her sound as Class 96, they hear, they hear this classic R&B sound. But when we released Is You With It, it was like...
Titties,
man, are they gonna get this new change? But I felt like if they don't really, like, a real Kirby fan will be able to stay here when, you know, when it was before, and then when she changes, because you know, everybody goes through transitions in their life.
Music,
you know,
has
what I'm saying?
To change.
Look at The Weeknd.
Yeah.
Exactly. So if your music doesn't change, then that means that either someone's writing for you, because I know life experiences causes a change in you. So It was a risk by putting out Izzy with it first, and I'm glad we took that risk because clubs, it was definitely something that people gravitated towards.
I mean, it was a good move because as much as I love Class of 96, like, that's just not the sound of where we are right now.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
Mm-hmm. You know, either, so.
Yeah.
Made a small move. Mm-hmm. And the whole album, what I really appreciate about the album is, and I didn't realize that Vegas produced the entire thing. But it's cohesive.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it definitely sounds like you have your own sound and your own lane that you're going for. And you got a potty mouth. It's crazy.
Potty mouth.
Definitely. Yo, we want to do this thing with you. Chris, you got it on deck?
Yep.
I think, you know, we had a lot of fun. First of all, now I know a little bit about your past relationships and how you think and maneuver. I think you'd be really good for this next part of the show. Chris, you ready?
Yeah. And for anybody listening, if you have relationship questions, send them in. Our email is redlightspecialpc@gmail.com. I want to go over the first one. Somebody wrote us and said, "Hey guys, I was in a relationship for a year, give or take. A week after I told him that I needed to end things and figure out what I wanted, I found out that he slept with a close friend of mine. She's known to be loose and crazy, but I never thought that she would do something like this to me. I especially thought that he was better than this. I just feel so disrespected and hurt. He says that he loves me and it was stupid, but if a week is all that it took, I don't believe that's love."
Wow.
That's deep.
That sucks.
You want to take a crack?
I just feel like once you cheat, you lose respect for the person you cheated on. And I just feel like it's no coming back from that. I just feel like he's going to do it again. He'll end up doing it again.
Well, no, she left him.
She left him.
Well, yeah, she ended things. Yeah, and she said a week after.
So he cheated a week after she
said,
ended things.
Oh. After a week after that, I told him I needed to end things and figure out what I wanted. I found out that he slept with a close friend of mine.
Oh, see, what she's
not. That's not. That's like.
But what she's not saying. Hold on. She's saying that she found out a week after.
She said, "I found out that he slept with a close friend of mine." She said, "A week after I told him, I found out that he slept with a friend of mine."
But she don't know when he slept with the friend.
So I don't know if that means during that week, because she said a week is all it took. She said, "If a week is all it took, I don't believe that's love."
Oh, okay.
So I think during that week.
Yeah, like that happened. Even when you break up with somebody or you get broken up with, you're not supposed to even be thinking about sex. I mean, I wouldn't. If it was love, I'd just be heartbroken, like, for a little minute. I'm not going to think about, you know, that's just
you need time to get over it.
Right.
Yeah.
I wouldn't feel right, you know, having sex with somebody, you know, new. That just, I don't know.
So let me ask you this. What if it was 2 months after they broke up and then she found out that he started sleeping with a close friend of hers? Would it be okay then?
Nah.
No.
That's against the girl code, though.
But see, for me, the problem is with your friend,
and not with your, because
now that's your ex man because you broke up with him. Mm-hmm. But that's still your friend. You didn't break up with your friend, so your friend did some shade. Like, your friend shouldn't have broke that. But yeah, we could soon. That means he had his eye on her.
Yeah,
while y'all was together.
Yeah.
Or he could have been listening. Or he could have been so hurt.
Weak.
That he was like, "I'm gonna get back at her."
That's true.
Out of spite. That's
the
worst.
You could have done it out of spite.
Like, I think doing something out of spite is the worst.
Yeah.
And it lowers you as a person, personally.
I think he should. Well, yeah. I think
she just need to leave both of them alone.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
But ain't no coming back after that.
I ain't so mad at. Listen, man, I question what I wouldn't have done it like that. But if she broke up with you, like, if he was good, let's say he never cheated on her ever and he was good to her, like, we don't know why she broke up with him, but she broke up with him, and, you know, he's like, fuck it.
So
what you gonna do, break up with me again?
Hold up, Rob.
You can't do shit
to
me.
Rob, so Rob is saying it's okay for a man to sleep with his ex-girlfriend's friend if she left the guy.
That's not what I'm saying.
I'm not saying
it's okay, but I'm saying I can understand it. Like, I can't be mad at him. Like, he didn't do nothing wrong. He ain't cheat on you.
But there's a million other women in this world.
Did he cheat on her?
I mean, she might have to send us another email. And
he didn't cheat on her.
Go back a couple months.
Give us the backstory. Can't break up with me twice. Go holler at your homegirl.
I don't know, man. I think...
What you bugging me for?
I feel like sleeping with an ex's friend is just off limits Period.
But it's the friend's fault.
Do things happen? It's not only the friend's fault. It's the man's fault, mm-hmm. too. You guys were together for, what, over a year? I don't know, whatever the time was. She said give or take. You're telling me a week is all it takes for you to turn around and sleep with that girl's best friend? Come on, man.
She
That's disrespectful.
Best friend. Now you put something extra on it. She said friend. She said close friend. You turn a close friend to best friend. That's
a close friend of mine. Listen, I have friends. And then I have really close friends, which I don't even use the word best friends. So close friend is what I would say.
Uh-huh. Vince, you're going back.
But I have friends and I have close friends. And I feel like if you're just an acquaintance, then it is what it is. You could sleep with my man right now, which I don't have. But for the record, you could sleep with my man right now. And if you're just an acquaintance, it is what it is. We're not going to go any further in our friendship. And I'm going to drop the guy and I'm going to move on. But if you're a close friend of mine, first of all, yes, it's on the girl because women should think smarter than that. Men think with their penis. So there's that.
It's not
true. Well, this is the thing. Like, like I see where both of y'all are coming from. And it just really, it really depends on the situation. And it just depends on how, like, if the whole goal was to get back at that person, just to, like, out of spite, then they accomplished that. Yeah, was it right? No.
Get him!
But like I said, it really just depends on the situation. So it's just like, you know, are you trying to be a dirtbag?
Take that.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it depends. It just depends. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
It sounds like he was trying to get back at her.
Yeah, it definitely sounds like that.
Because he had a lot of different choices. I don't say a lot of, well, you know. Plus, he had choices.
He probably knew. He was like, okay, well, I'm going to do. Oh, her friend. Oh, the fast one.
The fast one.
Yeah.
It's always the fast one, though.
The one. Oh, okay. Yeah. He knew exactly how many shots of Patron it took.
Right.
You know what my thing is, too, though? What did she say? She said, I feel so disrespected and hurt, but that she knew she was like this. So if you know that you have a friend who's, you know, capable of things like this, but can you think like she won't do it to me? Do you feel like, say you, Vince, like, you know, you were dating somebody and they had a loose friend. Like, would you be okay with that? Do you think a female should watch who she's friends with or does it not affect them?
That's the thing. Like, I mean, there's a lot of, like, females that have loose friends, obviously. But the thing is that, like, I don't think that they should not be friends with them, you know, if they are. But it's like I said, every situation is different. Every situation is different. But I mean, like, sometimes when you know what someone's capable of, it's kind of hard for you to kind of like get upset when you hear about something happening. Like, you already know. Like,
she was a hoe when you.
Yeah, exactly. Friends with her. You know what I'm saying? It's just what you do after that. If you're gonna lay hands on her, I'm not condoning violence. I'm just saying. If you do, then what, you know, either you're gonna forget about it, because I mean, if you're not with the person, you know, just forget about it. Like, you know,
forget about it.
So yeah. So I mean, I think she should just forget about that person and just move on. Because it's just like, why dwell on that? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He did that out of spite.
Yeah.
I think she should be happy that they showed their true colors.
Yes. Very true.
That's not a man you want to keep, and that's not a friend you should keep. So
Clearly, that's not a man she wanted to keep. She dumped him before he did.
Right.
Got that get back. Mm-hmm. Not that we condone that here. we got another one?
Mm-hmm.
Let's go.
This one's fun. I'm actually glad because you're so sassy, Kirby. I love it. So I want to go over this one. Somebody said, I want to be as straight up as I can be about this. The sex between me and my boyfriend just isn't the same and it isn't as good. We both work. We both have equal responsibilities. So I don't know where things went left, but I'm very sexual and this leaves a huge dent in the relationship.
Sex counseling, maybe? I don't know. Sex is important in a relationship, though. It really is. I don't know. I wouldn't just leave him because the sex isn't good no more, you know?
Do you approach the guy over it?
Hell yeah.
Talk about it?
Shit.
I feel like that's embarrassing, kind of, to tell somebody. I feel like there wouldn't be going any back from that. Like, how can you just, like,
Step your shit up.
But I think as a man, like, you know, like, if a girl is, if your girl is telling you that, then you gotta make sure you, like, that's a warning. This is a warning. Yeah. It's a warning, so you better get it right before you know what I'm saying? It's kind of like she's kind of warning you before she go
that's
out
true.
And cheat, you know what I'm saying?
Because with Gary.
With Gary.
Oh, Gary. Okay, look. with Gary, what attracted me to him was the fact that he went to the gym, and I wasn't used to that. Like, all of my prior boyfriends were, like, scrawny or whatever. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But he was kind of, you know, set, you know, he was built. And he went to the gym. That's one of the things. I'm like, oh, that's different, you know. Then we got together. He stopped going to the gym.
Yeah, because he got you. Got
right.
him.
So I was like, so what's up? When are we going to go to the gym? And he was just like, oh, I got to study, or, oh, I'd rather play basketball, and da da da. I'm like, okay, okay. I said, well, don't say I never told you. Mm. He'd be like, what you mean by that? Like,
So he let himself go. Did you see, like, physical changes in
him? Yeah, I saw physical changes. It wasn't bad, but it's just the fact, like, when you first are attracted to somebody, you know, for a specific reason, they have to keep doing that. They can't just,
yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
It goes to being in a relationship, like you get comfortable. Like, so
right.
It wasn't necessarily that maybe he looked different, but you saw him in the gym and there was a certain ambition or there was a certain drive there.
Yeah.
And then once he had you.
Then it was all, you know, video games and stuff.
Damn.
Which I love video games, by the way.
But we're going to talk about that.
But with that, I feel like, okay, the sex was great. And then he probably just stopped trying to switch up the moves and stuff. And was just like, whatever.
But it might be on her too. Like, listen, shawty. Because it's a two-way street. Like, because if the sex was great before, it could be great again.
Right. That's
so
like.
Somewhere along the way, she should talk to him and tell him, because that's just, anytime you're not communicating, it's a bond that's being broken. So you could probably fix that just with a conversation.
Right.
Because he ain't even peeping. But also check yourself. Like, what are you doing?
That's true.
You might have changed too. Like, you
that's
might,
true.
Like, you know, you might have been coming to bed with Victoria's Secrets at the beginning.
Right, now
it's
pants.
Now it's Hanes her way or something.
Right.
And it don't.
Hey, Hanes her way are sexy.
I don't know. I'm just saying.
The granny panties I get,
it's different. Like, it don't. Right, we just ruined the chance of a Hanes sponsorship. But it don't inspire the same feeling. So it could, you know, I would speak to him because he definitely got to step up. But check yourself too and be like, yo, what am I doing different?
Right.
Or what can I be doing to inspire things spice it up? Because it takes two.
It takes two. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right. You know? That's exact. That's the exact answer to that.
So there you go.
That's a good point, Rem.
Just saying. I know things. You play video games or what video games you play?
Yeah.
Well, how come I feel like you play Madden?
No.
Oh, okay.
Mario Kart.
I like sport games.
Oh, okay.
I like, what'd you say?
Mario Kart.
No, not really.
Wait, Kirby.
Call of Duty. And
Kirby
stuff.
Wasn't. Oh, you play Call of Duty?
Yeah.
Modern Warfare.
Like the military. Yeah.
Black Ops.
Yeah. Halo and stuff. I like stuff like that.
I'm a huge Call of Duty person.
Yeah.
We got
a little setup. So yeah, we.
Yeah.
We get to play the Modern Warfare. Actually, it was one point. I actually got the Modern Warfare back. So. I kind of lost the Modern Warfare and got it back.
Yeah.
So yeah, so
I like
you were that
like
person
that.
For a while.
Yeah, you know what? What's crazy is that I was a big video game person, and I kind of got so busy with work. And matter of fact, when we were working on her album, it was a point because she finished the album in January, and I actually like pretty much put so many things on hold to finish the album, like to mixing, mastering, things of that nature. So it's just like. It was a headache. I don't, if anybody ever put together, because you know when you got a major label, you got like you know multiple different things. But you know, other, but anyway, I got too busy. So
Vince said he'd do everything himself.
Well, I got a great team.
Man
luckily,
of many hats.
You know, I got a great team. But yeah, but as far as on that end, I'm a little bit you know a little bit freer now. So I'm getting back on the sticks. Yeah,
I still haven't found a woman who plays Madden. I know she's out there somewhere.
Yeah, she's out there somewhere. I just don't know where.
I don't know.
Why are you checking for her anyway?
I'm not. I'm just
no,
curious
I'm
that you
Uh-oh.
Never. Yeah, no. I don't play Madden. Like,
I don't know girls that play Madden either.
Yeah.
Like, I know a lot of girls that play Call of Duty. I mean, I play Call of Duty, but I also know girls that play, like, 2K. I don't play 2K. But I do not know one female that plays Madden.
Yeah,
me neither. A female that plays Madden should... Make sure that they hit up the podcast.
At RLS podcast.
Tweet us. Let us know what video games you play. And if you play Madden, I'm going to have to do something for you.
But yeah, but not that I play Madden. Like, I was going to buy the new Madden. And I'm the type, like, I'll buy video games and I'll play them for a day and never because I'm so busy.
Mm-hmm.
I was about to pick up the new Madden and then I realized I bought Madden last year. And if I played five times, I played a lot. just before I got. So I'm like, man, it's just, I'm just wasting money.
I'm not a big Madden fan. Yeah, that's just me personally.
I bought that new Super Mario Brothers, though. I'm about to get into that.
Oh, I saw you post that thing about Zelda.
On it?
I saw that.
Yeah. Was it? Well, I got it for my sons.
That's what's up.
I really got it for me.
That's what it is. Yeah, yeah.
That's funny.
The Super Mario Maker. You could build your own level. Mario.
Crazy.
It gives you all the tools and you could create your own world.
Oh, that's dope.
For Mario, and then you could play it. So then the challenge is like, last night my son built the world. He's like, I'm gonna build a world that you can't beat. Like, watch this, da da da. And he built the world and I beat it and then sent his ass to bed. But, you know,
damn, just destroyed all his dreams. just gotten stuck, Rob.
I don't play that. Like, we'll play 2K. I don't do that. Like, let him win.
I was just about to ask you that.
Losing builds character, man.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
You gotta learn how to lose before you learn how to win.
That's right. True.
So,
that's true.
Know, let him
that's
lose true. A couple. And then when you beat me, like, you really.
Yeah.
You beat me fair and square.
Mm-hmm.
Nah, man. Hey. Y'all are dope, man. I'm glad we got to do this.
I appreciate it. I appreciate y'all having us.
Y'all some
man.
Good people.
Nah, man. I just got to say again, Vince and Kirby and y'all whole team. I feel like Shay.
Shay
shows
shout
a lot of
Shay.
Love.
Yeah, shout out to Shay.
Man, Chris, we were talking about this earlier. Like, it might be an article I write or a podcast we put up or, man, and y'all always quick with the retweets and showing love.
I mean, if we expect to get support, like, you know, why not support the people that are doing dope stuff? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
If I support people, just like how you were saying before, like, if it doesn't come back from you, it's going to come back from someone.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So I don't support everybody, but I support people that I believe that's doing dope stuff.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And a lot of people might be like, or why he kissing their ass or whatever the case may be. But it's like, I see it, me personally, I'm supporting somebody that I think is dope. You know what I'm saying? And I think what you do is dope.
Mm-hmm.
What you do is dope. And anything
thank
y'all
you.
Do, just let us know so we could, you
definitely.
Know what I'm saying, support. You know
likewise.
Saying?
And I like that you're not afraid to show love because you compare it to people saying that you might be kissing ass.
Mm-hmm.
But why not? If somebody's dope, it's not like you're supporting shit that's like whack, you know? So
exactly.
if somebody that you know is doing something dope, support
mm-hmm.
it.
Right.
They're making music you want to hear on the radio one day, support it,
mm-hmm.
share it, listen
exactly.
to it, get those plays up, get those views up.
Exactly.
So I support everything that you guys are doing. You didn't even have to tell me the whole pre-ordering thing. I was like, I'm already on it.
And you.
And I'm glad
it.
I did because
it.
It's an amazing project.
Thank
so if you haven't heard Doing the Most by Kirby, just make sure you pick that up and listen.
Word.
That means a lot. That definitely means a lot. And what you guys are doing is something that a lot of people in y'all position won't. Just to let y'all know.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, you know that, but you know, it's really big for us to hear it from y'all. And you know,
let me tell you, Vince, man, I've been this a while, man. Some suckers in the game, man.
That's a fact.
Here comes the rent.
We ain't gonna go there. Nah, man. It's like, yo, I love it. And you know, I see big things. I see talent, and this is dope. And I'm glad we got you on the show.
Yeah,
and man. And when you get, you know, your spins up in your first record and your first real big hit on radio, and you start charting on Billboard,
right.
I want to have you back. And when you get your first platinum plaque, I want to have you back.
Right.
And when them records and the world tour start going, I want to have you back. And it's like, it don't matter, like, you know, because dope music is dope music. So
thank you.
And it starts here and. It's going to be big, I see it.
Oh, and I'm sorry to interrupt, but we actually entered the album to the Grammys. So it's me, I believe it's a strong possibility that it's going to get nominated.
It's like,
so,
why not?
Like, why not? Yeah. So
I just became a voting member of the Grammys today.
Did you? Oh,
yay.
Let's talk about it. Congratulations.
Yeah.
Congratulations
on that.
How does one become a voting member of the Grammys? Because this, every year, like in February, or not even February, December, when the nominees are announced, we all get mad.
Yeah.
But nobody knows how to vote.
Right.
I guess you can tell them the process.
You have to have at least 12 album credits in the liner notes and everything that's been released by major retailers.
Just retailers, yeah.
Yeah. So it has to be like on iTunes or just like in stores like Target or something like that. But you have to have at least 12 credits.
Which she has.
What else is it?
12 credits. So if you released an album with 12 songs on it, does that count?
That qualifies.
That qualifies, yeah.
That qualifies.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to vote in only categories that
of your expertise.
Yeah, of your expertise. So, I can vote in like vocalists, writers, arrangers. So I can't vote for people like I can't vote for like engineer, like the engineer category, because I don't have it.
But you could vote like I think R&B is contemporary.
Right. Best you have R&B to have the 12 credits. You
songwriting
have to have
and everything.
A website with like tour dates on it. And it's another one. It's one more.
It's you have to.
You have to be promoting yourself.
Yeah. You have to be.
You have to be serious
active
about your cast, about your craft.
Right. Yeah.
Which makes sense.
That's dope. Yeah.
Can't just throw anybody up there.
Yeah, it's kind of it's easy, but you know.
So when To Pimp a Butterfly don't win at the Grammys, I'm gonna hit Kirby up and be like, "Yo, why did?"
I really feel like, you know, all artists who's, you know, released music, they should be a member. Like, why not?
Right. Yeah.
You know?
I agree.
You can't be mad if you ain't vote.
If just like how you said, if we want change, we got to do the change from the inside.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, and when she is nominated, when she does win.
See that?
When she does win.
Take that, take
the,
that, take that.
The stock is going to go so high. And then, you know.
Right. And tell about Omos Keith. Omos Keith.
Oh, yeah.
Omos from, he used to be a Sara.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Look, actually, I know some.
We met him. We met him at at the ASCAP Expo 2 years ago. And, you know, we've been following each other, you know, and he actually won a Grammy for Frank Ocean's album.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep. So he became the head of the LA chapter in the Grammys. So for the Recording Academy. So basically, he's basically overseeing it, and he put out an article saying, like, and the title of it is, and maybe you could check it out, and maybe I'll send it to you. So basically, the title of it is, "You might not care about winning a Grammy, but I do." So he was telling an experience of what happened after he got nominated and actually won. He said that basically, as soon as he won a Grammy, his life completely changed. The phone never stopped ringing, and he basically really attributed it to him winning that album.
That's crazy.
That Grammy. So basically, as far as on that end, like, you know, when we set out to release this album, we wanted to set certain goals for it. We didn't just want to, some people just release it. They say, "I just want somebody to hear it." We wanted to release it. It actually charted on SoundScan's R&B chart on its 162, which was the first time she's charted. And then it also, now we're doing the Grammy stuff. So it's like we set goals for it. You know what I'm saying? We have some other goals that we're going to keep secret until they happen. but the Grammy stuff we believe is going to happen. But, you know, definitely, like, as far as on that, any artist that's out there that's listening, like, you know, get involved. I believe that everybody should get involved with the Grammys. I believe.
Why not?
That's dope.
A lot of people take the back seat and they like to watch things happen and play out and then give their opinion. So I like that you're so hands on.
Can I say I wrote a article about the Grammys.
You did.
And about how, you know, hip hop should just ignore the Grammys. Like, if it's not, and maybe it was the wrong advice, but it was like, you know, if it's not working for us, just, well, fuck it. Boy, and then my man Ivan from, he's from the Philly committee, Grammy committee. He's produced a lot for Music Soul Child, man. All of a sudden, he went up on the radio in Philly with Mina Say What, and started going off and talked about my article. They talk about you on the radio. Me and him became cool after that. Like, it wasn't no beef, but he definitely did not agree with anything I had to say and definitely called me out. But it wasn't no beef. I felt like we had a healthy discussion, and I have a better understanding of how the Grammy works, and he has a better understanding of my frustration with how the Grammy works. And you know, we'll be watching again this year.
So. Yeah.
Right.
When Kirby gets a nomination.
Oh, man. Yeah. That's what we aiming for, and I believe it's going to happen. So, yeah.
That's what. Before we go, can I put you on the spot?
You want me to sing something?
Can I ask you to sing something for me?
What do you want me to sing?
I don't know. Now you're asking me for too much.
What? You put me on the spot.
You might have to do that sweet potato
sweet
pie.
Sweet potato
Let's
pie.
Go.
Okay.
She's like, okay.
Ride around with your niggas, ride around with my bitches. I hit you up on the phone, tell you about the business. How you gonna do it now? Tell me how you gonna get it. How you gonna do it now? Tell me, is you whip with it? And when you come through, I got a treat for you with a light of you.
Yeah. Yo, that sounds just like the record.
Yeah. Yeah. Yo. That's good.
Yeah.
No auto tune.
By the way, she does a, I think you should do a show them your,
yeah,
Mary, not Mary, your Mariah. Your Mariah.
Oh, now we gotta see. Now we gotta hear this.
I've been doing impersonations and stuff, man. Like Mariah and Tony and Anita Baker. Like people that I grew up listening to and stuff. So you want me to do this, child?
So you're gonna do the Mariah one?
Yeah, just do that a little bit.
Oh, okay, let me get my whistle.
We got some water over there. You need water?
No, I'm good. Okay. It was twilight on the 4th of July. Sparkling colors were drawn across the sky. And we sat close enough that we just barely touched. While Roman candles went soaring above us and baby.
Hey. That was dope.
Kirby Morrie. Oh, man.
Yeah, man. Music is fun. Yeah, you gotta have fun with it, man.
That's dope. That's dope.
Got to.
Yo, you're dope.
Thank you.
Straight up. Well, thank you for being our guest. Welcome to New York. And I'm so blessed that this was the stop that you made, you know.
Yeah.
We appreciate you. But I've been a fan for a long time. For the new fans who are hearing this for the first time, where can they find you? Where can they get the album? Shout all that stuff out.
You can find me on, as far as social media.
Yeah.
On Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Kirby Morrie, KirbyMaurier. And you can go to my website, KirbyMaurier.com, and get everything. You can get the music, you can see the photos, all right, videos, all that.
Get that album too on iTunes.
Yes.
All right.
Yeah.
I appreciate you, Rob. Thank you.
Nah, you got it. Vince, where can they find you at, man?
Vince Valhalla on Twitter. And everything else, Snapchat, everything is Vince, VinceValhalla. And they can go to Valhalla.com to check out the website and, you know, see what we got going on. We got some major things going on. So, you know, we like I said, we appreciate, you know, y'all putting the spotlight on what we're doing.
Of course.
That's what's up. And Chris, where can they get you at?
At Chris Love on everything. That's KrisLovaa.
That's what's up. And we're not going to talk about it. You got some big news. You got some things cooking. Can we talk about that? We can't talk about that yet?
Yeah. I had went to an audition. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I had went to an audition this past week. And they kind of, because if a casting company, because I do acting. So if a casting company is to just come out on the internet and say, hey, we're doing auditions for our company, they'd have all of New York City at their office. So they kind of narrow it down and they say, we're doing an audition for so-and-so show. So they had kind of put it out as a Gotham interview, which I have yet to see the show, but a lot of people tell me it's a great show. And I ended up being one of the only people that day that went for the audition that actually stayed. So I just signed a contract.
What?
1 year contract. Yeah.
Congratulations.
I'm excited. Thank you.
That
feels so weird.
That is huge.
Yeah.
That's huge.
It's, you know, we'll see where it goes, but it's legit.
That's great.
That's what's up.
Yeah.
That's what's up. That's what's up.
I'm excited.
See? And there we go.
This is where it gets awkward for me.
And I didn't sign a contract, but I am Rob Markman. And you can catch me on Twitter at
Rob Genius.
Hashtag Rob Genius. Nah, but that's dope, man, Chris. So we're going to send all that positive energy your way. And we know it's going to be big things for you. But And I'm sure we're going to hear more about it as the weeks go on. But this has been this week's episode.
Yeah.
Again, just want to shout out Valhalla Entertainment, the whole team over there, because y'all show so much love. And to Kirby Morrie, doing the most. Go get that.
All right.
Ooh.
Need some of that vocal training from Kirby.
That was that sweet potato pie. Mm-hmm. Come back up.
You're not stupid. You got me in trouble with that shit. Later, yo, we out. Red Light Special, Jake and Papa, take us out. And that's the